incredible. We played a few games and we were losing 2-0, 1-0, but at the end, you know, they push you to win the game.
Edo, welcome to a special edition of the No Choftes podcast. I'm your host, Stel. Unfortunately, Roy isn't here as ever, but I've got a gentleman here from Elas Footy. He's part of the Gate 7 podcast as well. It's Stephen Gunduru. Stephen, welcome to the show, man. Tegala.
Oh, Poligala. Poligala. Christo, for having me on, Stel. Cheers. Thank you so much. When you messaged me about this, I couldn't say no. You know, it's an amazing opportunity to come on, chat with you, and obviously chat with our guest Diego here as well.
But you're an Olympiakos fan, so this would be quite an interesting...
Yes. I'm sorry, Diego. I didn't mention that I'm a massive Olympiakos supporter. But we can still, we can still talk about the successes of Balk and your time at Xanthi as well, you know, in this pod. But I'm happy to talk about that with you.
There you go. So here's our guest, Diego Longo. Thank you for joining us, Diego. It's an absolute pleasure to have you. And you've got a vast array of experience. You've been around the block a few times and you're still young.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you most than all for this, that you said that I'm young. No, it's a pleasure. I thank you. It's a pleasure to be here and to enjoy this time together.
Fantastic. Okay, well, let's start from the beginning. I know you didn't have a professional playing career, but you went straight into coaching. You met Razvan Lucescu, who I believe you were in Romania at the time. Tell us a little bit about how this journey to Romania happened, because you're from Genoa, right? So I presume you're a Genoa or a Sampdoria fan. Is that correct?
No, from when I started 16 years ago, I stopped to be a fan of football.
Ah, okay.
So, I'm only about the team that I train.
But when you were younger, who did you support? Who was your team?
I follow both teams here because every time when I had possibility to go to the stadium, I went. So every week, Sampdoria, Genoa, also without ticket, I tried to enter because I was a child and I enjoy with my friends. So, of course, I'm from Genoa, so Genoa, Sampdoria, if they win, I'm happy for them. But, okay, now, last 16 years, I'm a little bit far from... from these kind of ideas. My target is just to think about the team where I am. Of course, I remain close usually to my old team. No, PAOK is an example. Xanthi is another example. So, yeah, remains something, of course.
Mm. Well, the thing is, I got your number through a mutual friend, Valero Zudas. Such a lovely guy. He was at Bark, and then he's at Hajduk Split at the moment. But he had a bit of time in Italy. I think it was Regina, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was Regina. Was it Regina?
Yeah, but he was also in Lazio.
Lazio Futsal. Was it Futsal?
Yeah. Now he's in Hajduk.
And he's been
going
doing
well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, he spent quite a bit of time in Eastern Europe, like you. He was at Honved. In Hungary.
They won the cup in that.
That's right. They won the title. My friend David Groff was in goal. He was the goalkeeper when they won the league. Yeah, with Rossi.
He's
for the national team now, isn't he?
Now he's national team. He's doing very, very well in Hungary. Yeah.
Mm, absolutely. Okay, so tell us, you went to Romania. How did Italy, Romania, how did this journey? Was it a holiday?
No, look, we have I and Mr. Lucescu, Razvan, we had a common friend. And when Razvan was starting his career as coach, he asked for someone to help him, an assistant with a new idea about football, modern ideas. In Romania, in that period, it's true that mentality was a little bit older. So we met, and in 2 days we started together. Really was something very, very, very short. We appreciate each other, and I left all I had here in Italy, and I started this trip. It was a nice journey. The first year we've been in Rapid Bucharest. And in that year, I can remember that we were the last team in the European ranking. And we reached the quarterfinal of Europe League. So it was amazing, it was a surprise for all, and was the beginning of my journey.
That UEFA Cup season as a whole was very memorable. I seem to remember Sevilla destroying Middlesbrough in the final. I think didn't Middlesbrough play Steaua Bucharest in the semi, and you played them in the quarter. But before that, you beat Feyenoord in the qualifiers. Yeah. You played Shakhtar, Balk. You played Stuttgart, Rennes, and then you beat Hertha and Hamburg. In the run to the
Hertha and Hamburg, that in that period were a very strong team. I remember Van der Vaart, Van Buiten, amazing players. The same Feyenoord. Feyenoord was first in Holland.
Dutch league, yeah. They had Dirk Kuyt, didn't they? Dirk Kuyt. Well,
you know, when something goes straight and you are lucky. Sometimes you can reach amazing results that you couldn't expect.
That's right. Can you tell me about that game against Shakhtar? Because it was Razvan against Mircea, wasn't it? It was the father versus son. And Razvan won 1-0.
Yeah. Also there, I remember very well the quote of betting was our victory there in Donetsk was 20. Imagine, not goals. No, our victory was 20. Imagine, because Shakhtar was already a very strong team. We were the last team in Europe. But it was a very good game because tactically with Razvan, we worked a lot. And we could stop their phenomenon. And at the end, we also were lucky to score through a corner, a combination 1-2. And, it was a fantastic result, that one. Yeah. For Razvan and Mircea, imagine, was something unbelievable, very emotional. But okay, football is also this, fortunately, no?
Absolutely. So have you spoken to Mircea about that match, though? Because I know that after the game in the press conference, he went and congratulated his son, which is a very special moment. But have you spoken to him about that game? Because for him, it must have been difficult because on the one hand, he's trying to remain professional. Shakhtar, they had a great unbeaten record at home, didn't they? And then he's playing against his son's team. And he's thinking, you're probably thinking it's a difficult choice, isn't it?
I think what I felt in that moment that of course Mircea was sad because of the result of the game, also because after that game he had big trouble there in Shakhtar because Akhmetov was crazy. He wanted to win, of course, but I think that 80% of him he was very happy for and satisfied for. His son. I also have two children, and only the idea to leave something like this is incredible. No, I think that is human and it's normal to think about this.
Yep, fantastic, brilliant. Well, you know, as I said, you had a fantastic run. You played Balk, who had the likes of Zagoragis and Salpingidis as well, and you beat them. Another good result. So
one zero.
So it was a very successful season, which then led you. I think you went to Brasov, didn't you?
After Brasov, that, we had a second season there, and we met Panathinaikos. We draw 0-0 in Athens, but it was a decisive match for us. We needed a victory, and one of the last minutes, Viorel Moldovan, you remember, because
of course the striker,
you know all about football. Yeah. Miss an incredible opportunity in front of goalkeeper. So finished 0-0 and we were out because after Panathinaikos played in Paris against Paris Saint-Germain and and so they passed for the next stage. But after that, you're right, we went to Brasov. We won the championship in the second division. And the second year, we played also very well. We arrived seventh position, I think, one place out of Europe League. But was a good opportunity to reach the national team.
That's fantastic, because you weren't really in Romania for a long time, were you? And then you got the assistant head coach role for the national team. And that was a difficult time for Romanian football, wasn't it? Because I remember Romania from 94 when they had Hagi, Dumitrescu, Popescu, Petrescu, Moldovan, as you mentioned. And then you move it forward. You had the players like Adrian Mutu, and then you had the final stage of players like Kivu. It was fantastic. But then you went into the squad. It was very difficult, wasn't it? Because you had the World Cup qualifier, you had France, Serbia in the group, Lithuania, Austria, good teams.
It was difficult because, of course, that golden period of that you said about Hagi, Lacatouche, Popescu, Stelea, was something that also now in Romania, in that moment, was something historic, fantastic. But now, create also for Romanian mentality a pressure, a huge pressure on players, on every team. National team now is really in trouble, more than when we've been, because also Romanian football is a little bit down now. The level is a little bit lower than before, also because of crisis, of course, but it's not easy. When we've been in the national team, we had a good team. Of course, Cristi Chivu was our captain, a fantastic, fantastic player. I think that in my 16 years, for sure, he's the best defender I have ever trained.
Great left foot. Fantastic left foot.
Fantastic. Fantastic left foot. He could play. He could have played left back in Inter with Mourinho. He won triplete as left back, main player. I remember him against Robben against Bayern Munich, fantastic.
Yeah, final, yeah.
As a central defender, I think that today, in this kind of football, he would be perfect. For the building up, it was something incredible. Very, very smart, quality, amazing, amazing player. But okay, we stayed there 2 years. Was very good because also for me, because I had the possibility to meet very good coaches, players away. I had the possibility to meet in Italy Gianpaolo, Reia, a lot, Ranieri. Also away in Porto, Mourinho in that moment with his staff was very good for me. I learned a lot of things. For this, I'm very happy that I had this opportunity.
And you got a good draw against France, didn't you? 1-1 away. Was it away?
Yeah.
Thierry Henry scored away. And Anelka was playing. Evra was playing. Good team.
80,000 people, sorry, and with him, you know, I can feel also now.
Goosebumps, yeah.
Yeah, incredible, yeah, really, really. Stade de France is something, and also in front of us, were players like Thierry Henry. Well, I think, no, and it was nice also the time. The result was good, 1-1. But look, what we were saying, 2 minutes ago. After this match, this draw 1-1 against the France of Thierry Henry, all the press and the owners of Romanian teams attacked us like we lost against Andorra 5-0.
Why?
Unbelievable. Because of this mentality and this pressure that you always have in national team, in Romanian national team. Yeah, I can remember like now, Coach Razvan was really, really sad. And also this was the reason, because after 2 years and the great victory against Bosnia with Dzeko, Pjanic, we won 3-0 home. After that match, Razvan and also we decided to leave from national team because it was impossible to work. Because of this pressure, of this really, really difficult.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. That's unbelievable. Yeah. It was a great result against the French. As we mentioned, the players that were there, and it was a good performance as well. It's not as if you went there and you got lucky. It was a very solid performance. How do you play against Thierry Henry anyway? Because he wasn't an old Thierry Henry. It's not as if he was at New York Red Bulls. I think he was still at Barcelona at the time, wasn't he? He just won the Champions League. Henry, wasn't he still at Barcelona at the time when you played against him?
He won the Champions League in 2009.
He was around that time, yeah. So they won the Champions League. So it wasn't an old Thierry Henry. He was 34, 35. He was still early 30s. So you still... Was it? How did you play against him? How did you set your team up to stop him?
Look, with Razvan, every game we were very focused on our principles and his principle, first of all, because he's the head coach. So we worked a lot on this, on our organization, tactical organization. So every opponent had less space to play, and for this was difficult, really. Also because I think if you prepare a match against such a player, you can play man-to-man, but you cannot stop them. Also, I remember, look, Christy that told me, okay, I prepare with Mourinho the game against Bayern München. I knew that I had to play against Robben. And the people knows that Robben play in this way. No, he entered with the left from the right, and after a dribble and pass or shoot like this. So all the week, I watch, analyze all the video. I prepare, especially with one player, our player with the left that did all the week this kind of, okay, I was quite sure when started the match. I said, okay, I'm prepared. I know him. And every time he did this, he fucked me. Because it's like this, no? When you have so good player, it's difficult to stop them. In my opinion, just if you reduce the spaces and you are very well organized, you can do something.
Yeah, because you do see what they call a low block these days, but it's not anything new. This has been happening for many, many years. Okay, sorry to bring this up as a stereotype, but Catenaccio, that's what they were talking about, the system, the counter-attack. It's an old system, but it's worked. So...
But I think that to score more goals, to be more offensive, you have to start from your organization, no? Tactical organization, because if you don't recover a ball, you cannot attack. So, okay, you have to work, my opinion, my personal opinion, to arrive as fast as is possible to the opening goal. But if you're not organized, you are destroyed from the beginning. You play against a team that don't give you never the ball. No, you can see also now the most important matches are against teams that are very well organized.
That's right, 100%. Okay, so you had the brief spell in Qatar, then you went to Greece. And I'm going to pass you over to Stephen, who I'm sure has got a lot of questions about your time in Greece. I've got a few myself, but I'll just jump in when need be. Stephen, up to you, mate.
Yeah, man. So obviously you came to Greece in 2014. You joined Khanfi with your manager, Lucia. How do you say the name again? It's Lucescu, is it? Lucescu.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's it. I look at that. Yeah. Razvan Lucescu. And yeah, in the first season, it was a really impressive Khanfi side you had that season because you got to the cup final, where you ultimately lost to Olympiakos, but that was their first ever cup final. So it was a really big stride for a team like Xanthi to get to that point. How did it feel to, like, first season in Greece where you were with the team that maybe wasn't expected to get to the cup final for you to reach that point?
Yeah, it was a very good time. It was the first time for Xanthi to arrive in a final. Yeah. I can remember, I think you also... We played a first half fantastic because we pressed very high and we created a lot of opportunity. But unfortunately, minute 44, Bertos missed a stop and Olympiakos scored. From that moment, it was impossible because the difference of the level was too high between us and them. But okay. The season was nice, and the first approach with Greece for me was fantastic. We arrived from Qatar. that is very, very different. I don't think, I don't want to say better or worse, but...
But it was a different atmosphere, like a different climate.
In Greece, you can feel people very, very, very hot and very close to football, very passionate people. In Qatar, no, you play with, I think, 100 people that sometimes are paid to watch the game.
Really? They actually get, they pay people to go and watch the game?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. So it's really very difficult from this kind of view. And also, Qatar is very nice, very good people. I spent good time there. But sometimes you don't feel, you don't feel true. I don't know if you watched the Truman Show.
But yes, I have. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't feel real. It almost feels set up almost. Like
sometimes this feeling. In Greece, is the opposite. You really live 100% every moment. And because the passion of people, because, and this was the first approach. Football, okay, is good. There are a lot of talented players. And the 3 years in Xanti were okay. After in PAOK, maybe you prefer not to speak about this because...
I would love to hear your perspective. I know all too well what happened when you... joined PAOK. Speaking of which, obviously, you had three great years at Xanthi, and then obviously you joined PAOK afterwards. And did you feel the step up when you joined from a team like Xanthi to a team like PAOK, who's obviously regarded as one of the biggest clubs in Greece? And obviously you go to Thessaloniki, which is the second biggest city in Greece as well. And also to be in Tumba. Tumba is a vast stadium. Like it's the fans, like what was it like to be in such a, in such a fiery atmosphere like Tumba or every home game?
PAOK is white or black, not only for the t-shirt, no? And supporters immediately introduce you like this. So Tumba can be hell or paradise. When we arrived there, first time was hell, sincerely, because I remember very well the first match when we arrived to the stadium. A group of supporters waited for us with apple eggs and started to draw on us. It was a shock because...
Were they the PAOK supporters?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It wasn't a good period. And also for this, we arrived there. So they were very, very upset. Day by day, month by month, we had a fantastic result and they started to love us. And our relation was incredible. I have some image in my mind that I will never forget.
Yeah.
When supporters went with us to the stadium the day of the match, for example, but we speak about 1,000. We don't speak about, 10, 50.
No, the masses came, I imagine, yeah.
And with the bus that were going very, very slow because we couldn't move, but was a celebration before game, after game. It was amazing. And the last year when we won the championship after 34 years was something that I think will remain in every mind of Thessaloniki and our, of course.
Because obviously that first season, like you said, PAOK had just come off a couple of disappointing campaigns where maybe the fans and even the board felt that they should have achieved more. And then 17-18, you won the Greek Cup. You came so close to winning the Greek Super League title that season, but you were pipped by Aig Athens. And I think Stale was going to ask you about that because due to the incident that occurred in Tumba when PAOK and I played one another, and there was a controversial moment in the last few minutes of the game.
Yeah, all the people remind very well. But okay, it's true, of course, it was a so big mistake from us, from our owner, from our club, because it's like this, it's clear. We cannot discuss about this. But I remember that very well. 1 week before, we had to play against Olympiacos. And in that moment, we really were on fire. And when Olympiacos was going down, and
we were dreadful, honestly, yeah. Diego, we were terrible. That's the worst. That was the worst I've seen in a long time.
Really, in that moment, we could feel that 100% we would have won in the pitch, for sure. But also Olympiacos. You remember, we didn't play the game because of the paper and what's happened before. In that case, wasn't correct what's happened. Really, wasn't correct. That case creates something very bad in the environment. And 1 week later, when they, you remember, was goal of Shakov, I think. They took out this goal. In that moment, in general, we felt like very, very bad that they...
Yeah, obviously, so you must have felt like you were robbed.
Didn't want us to win the league. This one was our idea. Mistake, maybe mistake. I'm saying what was our feeling in that moment. And, okay, after the mistake, we lost the championship. But the second year, I think that 50% we won the championship because of this.
Oh yeah, I mean, I was just gonna say, like, you rectified that mistake the next season, because needed you go on to win the double.
Yeah,
you arguably gave Balk the greatest season in Greek Super League history, because you won the league title undefeated, and that's something that's only happened once in the professional era with Panathinaikos in the 60s. So that made massive achievement for you guys.
Oh, the motivation in that moment was so high, because we all the year we spoke about what's happened the previous year, and our motivation was so high that it was normal in that case to win all games or to have the record all time of Greece of point. And of course, this was.
Diego, I hate to bring this up again, but when you heard about Savvidis coming on the pitch with the gun in his hand, I don't know if you saw it, but when you heard about it, what was the first thing that you said, and what did the manager say? What did the player say? It made the news everywhere in the world. I mean, it doesn't happen in football.
Okay, first of all, I wanted to be sure not to be shot in that. No, was an embarrassing situation. Difficult to accept, also because in that moment we really realized that from that moment it was impossible to win. Also, with a draw in that situation against AEK, also if the goal was good or okay, but also with the draw we still had the possibility. In that moment we closed there the season. But okay, you of course you watched only what's happened inside the pitch. The problem was later, but okay, inside the tunnel. But okay, that is normal. No, as you said, the first thing is not normal, and I think that okay, now it's past. Also Ivan understood, and he's a good guy. So, of course, after 33 years, if you feel that someone want to you not to win, it's difficult to accept. He mistook the reaction. But
you know, it's quite funny that Stephen has kind of jumped out as soon as I was about to mention match fixing in Greece. Stephen, I was just about to ask about match fixing in Greece, because Marinakis has been... very, how should I put it, active when it comes to the courts in Greece, hasn't he?
Yeah, you know? And, I mean,
Did you know about the situation in Greece? Was that something that you were aware of at the time? The phone calls, the referees, Fadoulas, as you call him?
The sad thing is, like, despite maybe not getting all of the latest news when it comes to Greece, obviously living in the UK, that's the only part of Greek football that the British media seem to focus on. So I have no choice but to hear it on BBC Sport. The one time I want to hear about Greek football, I was like, oh, scandal this, corruption that. And, you know, Marinakis is a very divisive figure in Greek football, obviously.
He owns most of the media, man. Come on.
and he does. And I think the problem is, obviously, he's been through a lot of court cases. I think he got banned from football for a while as well, for footballing activities.
And you're still turning up to games.
Yeah, I mean, I guess watching football doesn't count. I think he hasn't ever been officially proven guilty of anything. And that's not me saying that I believe that he's completely innocent. But, you know, we'll have to see what happens. If he is guilty of any of these accusations, it will come back to bite him eventually. Nobody can run away from the amount of supposed things that he's supposedly done. So we'll have to see about that. But and also, Diego, just quickly, I've got a friend on Hellas Football, Alain, who's French. He's also Greek and he's a massive Baroque supporter. And he wanted to ask you, how did it feel to work with Razvan Lucescu and win and have such a big achievement at Baroque and win the title in such a special way? Because he is a fan, obviously, is so proud of the fact that he could live to see his team go undefeated, because it's such a difficult thing to do in modern football. In any age of football, it's hard to do. So how did that, what was that feeling to know that you had finished an entire season undefeated?
I told you, I think that one is the best experience, professionally speaking, of my life. Also, if next year we won the Champions League, Asian Champions, but I don't know, in that season, there was something that was really special, really special. Maybe because of this passion of supporters, of the city, you know, all the people around us. We were one, as was a spot of power, but really we felt like this. We are very, very proud of that season, of course.
What can you tell us about the Tumba, the stadium? What was that like, especially on the derby games? Because we've seen footage on television and it looks crazy.
Tumba give you, I don't know, but I think that at least 10, 12 points more than other stadium. Incredible. We played few games and we were losing 2-0, 1-0. But at the end, you know, they push you to win the game. If you are 2-0 against you and you draw 2-2 in minutes 90, last 3 minutes, you can win the game. I don't know, it's something unbelievable, but it's really like this. Here, I'm from Genoa, you know very well. When Genoa played important game, was a little bit the same things. I remember a fantastic season, I was a child, but when Genoa arrived in the semifinal of UEFA Cup, they won against Liverpool in Liverpool. Incredible.
Yeah.
But few matches, I felt the same feeling. I had the same feeling. Tumba is incredible.
Yeah. I remember when we played you guys, Olympiakos played Baroque at Tumba, and that was the game I knew the title was properly lost, you know, like for us, because we actually had an improved season over the previous one, and we were looking better, but not quite there yet. And when it went to 3-1, and Achiuba Akpong, obviously you remember, seen as a bit of a flop in England, never really hit the heights in the Premier League or even in the Championship. And he came to Baroque and he looked so much better. He looked so much more confident. And what was it like to How, what was Chuba like as a person, like in terms of it being part of the team and in the dressing room? It's just as from somebody who's watched him play in the Premier League previously, it'd just be interesting to hear what you have to say about him.
He was like 22 when he joined, wasn't he? He was quite young.
Yeah. Very, very good player. When he arrived in PAOK, we had Priovic as a first striker. And was very difficult.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. He was
very difficult for Chuba because he didn't have space to play. He arrived in PAOK and someone told him that he would have played as main player, but wasn't like this, the idea. Also because he was young, as you said, he arrived, but he didn't play so many games before us. So he needed time to improve, to grow up. When Priovic left PAOK, we had a lot of points in that moment. But from that moment when Chuba entered in the team as main player and the Prio left, we started to play better, much better as a way to play. Yeah? Because he ran a lot, he helped the team every moment. He was very, very ambitious. He helped us a lot. Of course, Prio, with two opportunities, scored 3 goals in the box. Because it's this kind of player. But Chuba, that scored less than a player of like Priyo, helped more. Helped more the way to play of the team. Was a very good player. Was a very good player. I tried when I've been in Dynamo Kiev to suggest to bring him there before him to go again out from PAOK, but it wasn't possible.
Wow. Well, Diego, if I give you maybe 2 or 3 names of footballers that you've coached, can you tell us a little bit about them? So if I said, for example, Amir Varda, the midfielder, what was he like? Because a lot of people think he's a bit, you know, a bit bacho, you know, a bit crazy.
Yeah, look, also, I sincerely, I remember very well, I had a very, very strong discussion with him between us. I think his talent is clear. No, he has a special talent. One against one, for example, the power he has in first 2-3 steps is something incredible. Is from this kind of view, he could have played in Premier League, my opinion. Also, you can see how he's explosive when he jumps. He's not so high, but he has very good timing, very good, he knows. The problem is how to manage the critical situation. He had and have to learn this because everyone, not only in football, no, in our life, we have critical situation, but we have to learn to manage in the best way, and to learn and to grow up from it. No? Here, in my opinion, because his reason that I don't want to say now, but here is really his potential. I don't say that he's something bad. I see that he. Here, his potential is very high.
So do you think it's his personal life off the pitch that's kind of halting his development? Do you think he maybe parties a bit too much? I don't know.
Look, the important thing, in my opinion, is that when he arrives at the pitch, he can train 100%. Okay, if you have a regular life, if the nutrition is good, if you sleep more hours, you are like Javier Zanetti of Inter, no? You can have a longer career, you can have better result, this is clear. But at least if you arrive at the pitch, you can train in a normal way, it's okay. From this kind of view, you cannot say nothing to Varda because he trained, he enjoy. When he's happy, he play 100%. So he needs confidence. He needs to be the first one always. And this is difficult to happen in a big team. When he play in a team that is not the top team, and for this, he's the first, also coach appreciate him in a particular way. In my opinion, he made the difference.
Well, it's interesting you said that, actually, Diego, because I remember after you and Lucescu left, he then this season he went to Volos on a permanent, and then he brought, because of his performances, and he was basically the standout. He was the talisman of that team, and he eventually got brought back to Balk, and he's been playing there since January, and his performances have kind of shown that he is capable of playing in that big team and being part of a team as opposed to just being the talisman and being the main man to create things. So, that just kind of resonated with me because it was evident that he needed to have that step down to Volos to sort of take his career back to a bigger stage like Balk and show his talents off there, I guess. And it seems as though he's taken that step now in a way.
Yeah, he's a very sensitive guy and a very good guy, very sensitive. Also maybe when you create in your mind a special future, no? Because he played with Momo Salah and Salah arrived to Liverpool, but they played together and the talent was not so far one to each other. If we speak only about the talent. So maybe in his mind, he create a special movie about his career. And after it's difficult to wake up and to say, okay, no, I have to work more because if not, from there, I can arrive very, very down. Here you have to be, in my opinion, very strong as character, as mentality to change your career and to improve.
Brilliant. I've got two more players, okay? One of them is actually playing in Cyprus at the moment for Apollon, Biseswar. He had a fantastic season when he won the league. And he's made a bit of a difference since joining Apollon, even though they're third at the moment. And let's just hope they stay there as an Omonia fan. So what can you tell us about him?
Bise is also the kind of player that can change a game in a few seconds. Very smart in the pitch, very, very, very smart, very good vision. Sometimes he made some pass that also from the bench was difficult to see. No, something that is not easy to find in the player. Good during the training, regular, very, 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 very good player with us. Also for him, wasn't easy the first period. Because physically he had to work more, and for this he wanted to play. I remember that one time he stopped me after the training and say, "Diego, can I ask you something?" I say, "Of course." He said, "Tell me." And he said, "Why I'm not playing?" I said, "Okay, you have to tell me why you don't play, because you are a fantastic player. You have talent. Coach likes you very, very much." But you don't play. You have to understand why. I can tell you, but I want to ask you something. Are you 100%? Are you fit in this moment? When you play one against one against a defender, you feel comfortable? Hey, okay, no. Okay, so you answer, not me. You have to work. And when he started to work 100% and he was very, very good, he made a difference. For us, he made a difference. Really, really amazing player.
Well, it's fantastic because I know that he's recently been called up to the Suriname national team. I think Dean Hore, who was at Ajax, is the head coach, and he called him up along with a few others. And it's good to see him playing international football. I think he's going to be in the Gold Cup to play against the United States, Qatar in the Gold Cup tournament. So because he always like, it's a shame that he's 33, not 23, so we could see the progress. But he's a good player. We could see already in the Cypriot League how well he's done. Final player from me, Vierinha. This player, so reliable. I think he left and then he went back to Bark, didn't he? Fantastic player.
Yeah. No. André belongs to top players. Really is different. Sometimes you see different players and you can feel in the pitch that there are different players. And Vierinha is one of these. But really, when we played against Chelsea, I had this feeling with Pedro. There were a lot of good players, fantastic play, but Pedro had something different. I don't know. And Vierinha is the same. How he changed the side, how he decided the match with the shoot, playing left back. He was our Pirlo, let's say, no, because all started from him, because the vision, because of how he accepted to play there, because he arrived in Pau as a star to play winger or to decide game in front. And when he went to play left back, he played 100% without any problem. Amazing, amazing person and amazing player.
Yeah, because I remember, I think they sold him for about €3 million or £3 million, and he came back for almost €1 million. So he went to Germany, he came back a better player. Stephen, any more questions from your end, mate?
Just a quick one. So obviously, there's two Greek players that I want to quickly ask you about. So there's obviously, what are your thoughts on the progression of Dimitris Yannoulis? Because obviously, he came to Balk, and he's now at Norwich City. Have you ever been keeping track of him since he was with you guys at Balk, and how he's doing now? Because he's really, really showing that he can compete in the English game, and he's looking like a really, really solid left back. And he's a full Greek international now. He's normally first choice. So yeah, it's how was he to work with when he was at Balk?
I like a lot Yannou, because it is not easy today to find a left back with his features. A good left, good cross, a lot of kilometers run. He never create problem in changing room. Very serious. Not so strong personality as Vierinha, but not all the players are the same. He has other characteristics. He's a player that helped the team always. And I saw also after we left, he was decisive in more than one game. I have very good approach with him from the beginning, because he's a worker. Also, I worked a lot with defense, and so with him I have a special relation, like with Crespo or other guys, Vierinha. And really, I love him.
And this one's a little bit of a stretch, obviously, because he didn't play for the senior team, but he's playing now, and he's seen one of the biggest Greek talents currently. It's Christos Tzolis. Did you see him at all in the academy before he became part of the senior squad? And if so, could you see the potential in him when he was in the youth setup?
When I've been in PAOK, no. Practically no. So was quite a surprise for me when we left to see him at this level. But really, he's showing to be a very good player. And next years, I think we will listen a lot of things about him. He deserves to play with respect, but in another championship, no, I think.
No, that's a lot of people feel the same sentiment. It's more making sure he develops to the right level where he can then move, so that he doesn't leave too soon and may make the wrong career decisions or you know, go into that trap of what a lot of Greek talent has, sadly, where it's just been that move summer too soon, where he's gone, he hasn't really had any game time, and his sort of development is stagnated slightly. So there's a lot of hope for him to maybe stay another season at Balk, and then eventually, when he's a bit older and a bit wiser, maybe go somewhere, maybe, and certainly a bigger league, because at the end of the day, we want to see our Greek players flourishing outside of the Greek Super League. So yeah, it would be great to see him go somewhere in the future.
Yeah.
Diego, I've got one more question, my friend. Actually, I've got two questions, but they segue to each other. You went to Dinamo Kiev. That was a very big move for you, but also a big move for Mr. Luchescu, who was at Shakhtar. And I know that there were problems originally. He joined and then he resigned and then he got back in the job. How difficult was it for you and him at the time, knowing the pressure, knowing the rivalry between the two teams?
Look, it was so difficult that we lived in only in the basis of Dinamo Kiev. We couldn't rent a car, a house, because it was in that period wasn't good. Too much pressure.
Well, because you feared for your life, is that right?
Yeah, it was difficult. It was difficult. A tough period. But you know, when you work and you give 100% after result arrive, and also the situation is better now. You know, the results are fantastic. We finished in December 1st. Now they are, I think they won the championship. It's really difficult now to lose this championship. So all is good, but you know, sometimes supporters don't forget what you did. And of course, now Luchescu is working 100% for Dinamo Kiev, no? Because the time in Shakhtar is past. But for supporters, it's not like this. And I think we never will be like this. Also, with the victory of the championship, they will not forget.
Yeah, they won it by 7 points this season, which is a big margin given how well Shakhtar have done for many years. I mean, I know Vitor Severino, who's the assistant coach, such a nice guy. I spoke to him yesterday and, you know, they've done remarkably well. I mean, it's a team full of Brazilians and Portuguese players, and they've sold players like Fredji and all these other players they sold. But Dinamo Kiev under Shevchenko back in the day when he was a striker, and Rebrov, that's when they had that grip on the Ukrainian title, but then it kind of went downhill. But Luchescu's then, he's built them back up again. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next season, especially if they get into the Champions League.
Yeah, it's true. But Dinamo Kiev in this moment has a lot of good players, young Ukrainian players, very, very good, very talented. And their power is mentally. They are very focused and connected in their career. Player like Mykolenko, Shaparenko, they are focused only on football. This is a very good thing for the club, for them, for their career, for the future. This is the secret, of course, also Mister. But Mister gave them the confidence. And also the idea that they can beat also Shakhtar. Now they play different because of this.
Fantastic. And just a final question from me, Diego. What are you doing with yourself now? Are you getting into coaching? Are you just relaxing now because, you know, the summer's coming? You're just, you know, go to the gym a bit more.
No, I'm not the kind of person that relax. Never. I'm not this guy. After Dinamo Kiev, after 2 days, I left Dinamo Kiev. I've been in Dubai because a very good team there called me to be head coach. I stayed there for days. discussed, and at the end we didn't close the deal because appeared another problem, but not for me or not for them, but okay. So I came back here, and now I'm discussing. From this summer, I will start as a head coach. It's just to choose which is the best solution for me. There are people that work for me and with me, and I think that starting from June, we will start this new journey, like the first day of school. Well, also, if I have 600 matches in the bench, but not as a head coach, so it's a new journey for me.
Well, I really hope it goes well for you, my friend, because I can tell just by this conversation, you know, you're very open, very personable. You know, we can talk to you about anything, and you're open and honest, and that's the main thing. And I wish you luck, and hopefully we can record another podcast again, and maybe we can talk about your new role whenever it's announced. You know.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Stephen, have you got any more questions, my friend?
Not as such. I just want to say, thank you so much, Diego, for coming to talk to us. You know, it's been a pleasure talking to somebody in the professional industry. You know, it's amazing to hear your experiences from like in that much depth about talking about the insides of the club, especially your time in Greece, which obviously I'm particularly most interested in, and just how things were at the time and in the memories that you have of your time, which obviously are very special to you. It's very, very much appreciate you sharing that with us. It's amazing to hear what you have to say.
I want to thank you. It was a good night for me to know you. And okay, we will keep in touch, and I will come back to you, okay?
Grazie, appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good night. Bye. Thank you, Diego. Ciao. Bye. Stephen, do you have any social media you want to promote? Anything like that?
Oh, God, where do I start? Right. So firstly, you can find me on the Twitter handle at Steve Konturu. My surname is excessively long, but it's KONTOURU. That's the same on Twitter and on Instagram. You can find my blogs on Hellas Football with the Twitter handle at Hellas Footy. And as of last week, you can also find me on the Gate 7 International podcast, which is specially for Olympiacos fans. And we've recently started a website there. They've got a podcast that they've started in the beginning. We've got a podcast on Hellas Football as well. And there's so many great guys on there, different fans of all the Greek clubs as well, just talking about Greek football, the national team, Greeks abroad. So yeah, come and check out the content of both of them, because they're both great great place to find Greek football that in English, because there's not a lot of mainstream outlets that really talk about Greek football in English, sadly. So yeah, if you want to come to either of those or both, by all means, you know, it's a good laugh with all those guys.
Excellent. There you go. So that was another edition of the No Chofters podcast. We are on the OLB. You can find them on Instagram. You can find us on Instagram. Find me at Chase Dell. Hit that like button, subscribe, leave a comment, and tell your nunnas. Until next time, I'm a sure.